All right. In our call to worship this morning, I want to put your thoughts on the legal system for just a moment and how it relates to our union with Christ. Maybe you've been in my situation. There was a time when I was in the Marine Corps, I had to appoint a power of attorney before being deployed into combat. And that power of attorney acted as my representative. And they had the legal power in all my matters concerning bills. They could pull out loans in my name. Every signature, everything they did on my behalf was as if I was doing it myself. And so it carried significant weight. Christ's act of righteousness on our behalf acts in a way like a power of attorney. Now, all human illustrations break down at some point. But think with me for a moment here before we go to our scripture. Our sin is taken on by him at the cross. When we place our faith in Christ, he takes on our sin. He absorbs the wrath of God on our behalf, and his righteousness is imputed to us. So when God the Father looks at his children, he sees the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, who acted on our behalf at the cross. So we can echo with Paul the words he penned in Galatians 2:19 and 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So when we come to worship this morning, maybe you're like me and you had to wrangle your kids and get them in order, or you're struggling with fears and doubt, unbelief is being revealed in your heart, and you're like, you know what, I'm not even worthy to come before God. And I would say, in and of yourself, you're not worthy. But in Christ, we have his perfect righteousness. And it isn't by our works, it isn't mustering up enough faith to come before him today that makes us worthy. And he is, because of Christ and his righteousness, God delights in us. And so let us come boldly this morning to worship on the merit of Jesus Christ. Pray with me, and then we'll turn it over to Nevin. Father, thank you. Thank you for Christ, our representative, who went to the cross on our behalf. Father, we deserve your wrath. We deserve eternal separation from you, but in Christ we have been given life. We have been seated with him. We have died with him, and we have been raised with him, Father. And it's because of Christ we come before you and want to worship you this morning. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Toby. Can everybody hear me? Give me a thumbs up. Yep. Okay. Lots of thumbs up. I like that. Well, if you're joining us for the first time, it occurred to Rodney and I last week that we might have had people that we don't normally worship with. And thank you so much for joining us today. We're honored that you would choose to be with us, to spend your Sunday morning with us. We just, you know, at times like this, it seems like, is this a holy day? Are we really celebrating the Sabbath? And yeah, we are. This is a thing that we want to do. We want to take the time to give God the glory, because he has strength when we don't. He's sovereign over us, like this first song is that we're going to sing today. It says that there's a lot of things basically that we don't understand, but we understand that God is in control of whatever that thing is, whether it's our circumstances, whether it's an illness, whether it's loss of a job or anything like that. We understand that God is sovereign over us, that he is in control, and that he still turns these things for his glory and for our good. So let's sing about that first. Sovereign over us. So we'll sing this song. If it goes well, we'll try another one again. We're doing a different setup this week with microphones, and we're super fancy. So let's try it out together. Thank you. There is strength within the sorrow. There is beauty in our tears. And you meet us in our mourning. With love we cast out fear. You are working in our waiting. Sanctifying us. When beyond our understanding. Teaching us to trust. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. Faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign. Can understand your ways, reigning high above the heavens, reaching down in endless grace. You're the lifter of the lowly, compassionate and you surround and you uphold me, and your promises are my delight. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the blood. Faithful. For evil, you turn it for our good. You turn it for our good. For your glory. Even in the valley, you are faithful. You're looking for us. Even what the enemy means for evil, you turn it for our good. You turn it for our good, for your glory. Even in the valley, you are faithful. You're working for our good. You're working for our good, for your glory. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. Faithful forever, perfect in love, you are sovereign over us.
Faithful forever.
Faithful forever, perfect in love, you are sovereign over us.
Amen. Is that true? Thumbs up. That's right. Big one from Toby. I like that.
When Nevin and I first got married, I worked as a nurse. I was fresh out of school in my first job. Many days I was plagued by worry and felt like I was drowning under the weight of being responsible for people's lives. This was when I first experienced significant anxiety in my life. But during that time, God used this next song to gently remind me that it is His very breath in our lungs, that it is His will that we take our next breath. And He knows the number of our days and the number of our breaths. It gave me such peace to think that when I listened to my patients breathe in and out, I was actually listening to the breath that God had given them, and He was ultimately sustaining them. Maybe you can identify with feeling crushed by worries right now. Maybe you can feel the burden of feeling responsible for your family's physical or financial health. Let's sing this next song, remembering that God is the one who gives us our breath. We can trust Him with our lives because we are His, and we can rest knowing that He is our sustainer and our Savior. Let's praise Him together.
So we pour out our praise, pour your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
Would you guys pray with me? Father God, we realize that you are our sustainer, that you are our breath. In this crazy crisis thing that's going on, we know that you hold this in your hands, Father God. And we also just want to lift up the workers who are out there serving people right now who are hurting, for doctors and nurses and everyone out there helping all of our healthcare professionals. We just pray that you would give them strength to face another day to serve your people. But help them to know that it really is your breath in our lungs. We pray that more and more people would turn to you, turn their hearts to you, especially now in this time of need. Just walk with us and give us strength for every day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now it's over to Miranda. She has some words for everybody. Good job.
Morning. Hi, guys. How are you? Are you doing good? Yeah. Oh, I got a big thumbs up over there. Hi, Jesse. Are you doing good today? You look happy today. Yeah. Oh, there's some sun. Silas looks happy too. Okay. So last week we did a lesson, or you guys should have done your lesson at home, and it was about Abraham and Isaac. Do you guys remember doing that? Yes? Oh, no? Okay. Well, we're going to do another lesson today, and this story is about Isaac and Rebecca. Okay? So when Mr. Rodney starts talking, you can watch your video. Your mommy and daddy should have your video ready. If they don't, in the chat, there's a link. Moms and dads, I put a link to the coloring sheet, the worksheet, and the video in the chat. So let me know if you have any problems with that. And then after you get done with your video, I want you to take your time, do your coloring sheet. On your worksheet today, you have to find some hidden things in a picture. So you're going to have to really use your eyes for this one. Okay? Also, I just wanted to throw this out there. Kelowna is having the bear hunt. Moms and dads, if you need something to do with your kids, I'm sure you've all heard of this already, but there's a Facebook page. I can invite you if you're not in it, but people are putting teddy bears in their windows, and you can drive the kids around and you can look for teddy bears in the windows. So that's really fun. So I want to make sure you guys know about that. Okay, kiddos, let me see your faces. If you heard what I said, can you give me thumbs up? I miss you guys. All right. Miss Lucy is going to read now. Bye.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me okay? Yes. Good. Awesome. Okay. I got permission from Rodney to make everyone stand up in their jammies today. So hopefully everyone stand up, because we honor things by standing, and we're going to honor God's word by standing. So, all right. Okay, we're going to read this morning from Lamentations 3, verse 22. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. And it is good for people to submit at an early age to the yoke of his discipline. Let them sit alone in silence beneath the Lord's demands. Let them lie face down in the dust, for there may be hope at last. Let them turn the other cheek to those who strike them, and accept the insults of their enemies. For no one is abandoned by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he also shows compassion because of the greatness of his unfailing love. For he does not enjoy hurting people or causing them sorrow.
All right. Thank you, Lucy. You all may be seated. That's awesome. Thanks again for being here this morning. If you are a visitor on the call, my name is Rodney. I'm one of the pastors here at River City. And so it is good to be with you here this morning. There are 43 different devices on this call. I think that's pretty amazing. I don't know how many people that would be total, but it's exciting to see us all jumping together on this call. Speaking of calls and technology, how many of you have ever had a glitch or something with your computer? You've had computer problems, or maybe your phone isn't working like you want it to, or your tablet or something, and you maybe it was at work, and you called your IT department, or maybe you asked for advice from somebody. And what's usually the first thing they tell you to do? Have you tried turning it off and turning it back on again? Right? That's usually what we say, because there's something about rebooting the computer or device that somehow solves the problems. And what my goal is here this morning in the next 20 minutes or so is to look at Lamentations 3 and see that maybe there's a possibility that this virus, this quarantine, this season of life that we're in right now, with having a lot of things stripped away from us, could actually show that there's a glitch in our system and that God is graciously giving us an opportunity to reboot. I mean, think about this. Up until 2 months ago, we could basically go wherever we want. We could buy whatever we want. We could eat out wherever we want. We could kind of do whatever we want, watch whatever we want, whenever we wanted. And our lives have been very much built on this idea that we are our own people and that we're kind of in control of our lives and we do what we want to do when we want to do it. And that's what I'm presenting today, is that is the actual glitch in our system, that the virus itself is not the glitch, but the idea that we think we are in control of our lives is the glitch. Because in the last 2 months, that idea has proven to be false, right? We found out we are not our own people, that the world is actually a lot more interconnected than we ever thought it could be, that a tiny little virus can make its way around the globe in a week. We are much more interconnected than we ever imagined. And we've also seen that we are not in control of our lives. No matter how much you planned for the future, I doubt that your five-year plan included a global crisis or a virus. These are little things that we don't plan for, and it shows us that we are not as in control of our lives as we thought. But what I think God is giving us in this moment is this beautiful gift of the opportunity to reboot and to re-examine our lives and to re-examine what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so I don't want us to waste this time. So if you have your scripture nearby, we're turning to Lamentations chapter 3 today. If you need to jump up and grab a scripture, feel free to do that. Lamentations is right near the middle of your Bible. So if you take your Bible and you open to the middle, if you get Psalms or Proverbs, start turning to the right, past Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Isaiah is a big book, Jeremiah is a big book, and Lamentations is right after Jeremiah. So Jeremiah chapter 3 is where we're going to be today, or Lamentations 3, I'm sorry. Now, the reason that we're reading this, Lamentations, just for a little bit of history's sake here, Lamentations is a book of scripture written during a reboot in Israel's history. You remember, as we've talked about this in the story of God, the nation of Israel is brought out of Egypt by Moses, led into the promised land. They get into the promised land. God says, if you obey my word and you listen to my voice and you follow my commands, You will be my people. I'll be your God. Just obey me and things will go well for you. If you choose to not obey my voice and worship other gods, then things won't go well. There will be discipline. There will be judgment. There'll be punishment. Well, in our story, we saw that it didn't take very long for prosperity and peace in the promised land to make the nation of Israel get a little bit lazy in their worship. And so they started worshiping other gods. They even started building temples to other gods. They allowed the practices and the ways of the nations that lived around them to influence them. And the nation began to spiral into sinfulness. And now you've probably been to the supermarket or something where you've seen this little kid who's acting up and a parent comes nearby and says, now get over here. And the kid doesn't listen. And so what do we do? You start to count, right? You go, now one, I said, get over here. And if they still don't come, then it's two. You don't want me to get to three. Like, don't make me keep going. And if you have an especially gracious parent, you might get a 2.5 or a 2.75 thrown in there to give a little bit of extra time. God is a gracious parent. And so as a loving heavenly father, God counts to one, and he sent judges to the nation of Israel to rescue them from their oppressors and to lead them out of their idolatry, but they still didn't listen. So God counts to two, and he sends prophets. He sends prophets to warn them in graphic pictures sometimes what it's going to look like if you continue to disobey. You don't want to get to three because it is going to be painful. God is even a God of grace and mercy and counts to 2.5 by sending godly kings to the nation to even legislate righteousness, tearing down the idols, tearing down the temples that they had built to other gods. But the people's heart was still hard and they still refused to worship God. And so when God got to three, what that was the nation of Babylon coming into Israel, besieging the city, capturing a bunch of people, taking them back to Babylon, away from their homes, away from their families, away from their farms and their land, away from everything that was familiar to them, but perhaps most painfully, away from the temple. And the temple was destroyed, and they were carried away from the presence of God, almost like Adam and Eve being kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And so Lamentations is being written during this time of exile, as the people have had everything familiar to them stripped away. And so maybe we can kind of identify with that on some level. We're not away from our homes, but we've had a lot of things that are familiar stripped away. And so chapters 1 and 2 of Lamentations deal a lot with what the city looks like now that it's destroyed, grieving their sin and recalling God's judgment. And then we get to chapter 3, where the author is expressing how he feels in the middle of this affliction and sorrow and grief. So if you have Lamentations 3 in front of you, I want to start in 16 and just read a few verses here. In verse 16, he says, he, referring to God, ground my teeth with gravel and made me cower in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I've forgotten what prosperity is. Then I thought, my future is lost, as well as my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my homelessness, the wormwood and the poison. Wormwood just being a bitter root of a plant, coming to symbolize suffering. Verse 20, I continually remember them and have become depressed. Now, I talked to several of you on the phone this week or by text message just to see how you were doing. And I don't know how many of you would say you're depressed, but there are quite a few where there is just some uncertainty and fear. And that's just kind of some of the general feelings that we have in these days. A lot of you have loved ones who are high risk. People, you wonder, what if something happens? What if something happens to them? What if something happens to me? What if the kids can't get back to school? What if I lose my job? What if things never go back to normal? What if I need a doctor and I can't see one? Or when the bubonic plague swept through Europe in the 14th century, it took over 200 years for that economy to recover. Like, what if that happens to us? And there's just a lot of what ifs, and a lot, and those are legitimate concerns. But our goal for today is to look in Lamentations 3 and allow it to reboot our hearts, not to see the what ifs that could happen, not to focus on the what ifs, but to move from what if to even if, and to see the beauty of what God could be doing with us in this time. Let's pick up in verse 21. Now remember, he's writing, he's depressed, he's sad, there's bitterness, he's picturing his hometown is just a mess, it's destroyed. Verse 21, yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. So here's what I want you to do. You've got the chat box there on your screen. Find that little chat box. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this again, those same verses. And I want you to write in the chat box what these verses say about who God is, about his character and his nature. So I'm going to read 21 through 26. And as I do, you throw it into the chat box what you hear it saying about who God is. And don't be afraid to double up what somebody else put in there. Just go for it. So you type, I'll read. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will put my hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is still young. All right, so let's see what some of these are that you put, that he is faithful and he is merciful. I don't know about you, but I've been thinking of how merciful God is this week. Just in the fact that this virus could be infinitely worse than it is. Right, there's a mortality rate of 3, 2, 1, depending on where you look. It could be 80. It could be 90%, but it's not. He is incredibly merciful, and his mercies are new to us every day. So when you think about it like this, God gives us the mercy that we need for today. When we worry and when we fear, basically we're living tomorrow's fears without the mercy of God. Because he hasn't given us tomorrow's mercy yet. He's given us today's mercy, and it's new every morning. Faithful love. Yep, his faithfulness is great. It's abundant. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's consistent. He's good. He's full of hope. He's our portion. Yeah, what our portion means is it's like when if parents passed away and they had three kids and they divided up the inheritance to the three children, that's the portion that you got. You got your portion. And that's just amazing that the Lord is our portion. These are people who got into the promised land, and the promised land was divided among them. And now they're saying the Lord is actually our inheritance. So that's beautiful that he's our portion. He's in control. He's merciful. He's a provider. He's kind. He never changes. Sovereign, compassionate, dependable. Yeah, yeah. These are good. Now, remember, this is all being written by a person who's had everything he held dear stripped away from him. So let me ask you today, River City, is it possible that a virus can be sweeping the globe and those things still be true about God? Is that possible? Is it possible that we could be in danger or have loved ones in danger and those things still be true? Is it possible that you could be facing cancer or some other illness and those things still be true? Can you lose your job and that still be true? Can your marriage be difficult and those things still be true? The answer, of course, is yes. Of course, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The promises he made to Adam and Eve in the garden, the promises to Abraham, to Isaac, Jacob, his faithfulness to Moses and King David, all of those are still true. He's still just as merciful, still just as faithful, still just as good. And so if that's true of God, then how should we respond? Verse 28 through 30, he says, let him, in 27, he says, it's good for a man to bear the yoke of God's discipline while he is still young. And then verse 28, let him sit alone and be silent, for God has disciplined him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. Perhaps there is still hope. Let him offer his cheek to the one who would strike him. Let him be filled with disgrace. Now, the author of Lamentations knows that this exile is, in fact, God's judgment and discipline. He knows that because God had told them, forewarned him that that would happen. Now, with this virus, we didn't have that kind of warning, so don't hear me suggest that this is God's judgment or his discipline. Although, if it were, we would deserve it, right? So, I'm not saying that that's what it is, but are there things in our life that we have let move to a higher place than Jesus? I would say yes. And so, when adversity comes our way, whether it's this or in other areas of life, the best thing we can do is to humble ourselves and pray. A familiar verse from 2 Chronicles 7:14. In Lamentations, the temple has been destroyed. In 2 Chronicles 7, the temple is being built. It's just been finished, and King David's son Solomon has just finished this long prayer of dedication. And in verse 14, then God answers his prayer and says, if I shut the sky so there is no rain, or if I command the grasshopper to consume the land, or if I send pestilence on my people, and my people who bear my name, people who call themselves Christians, people who are following God, will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Now, hear me again. I'm not suggesting that the coronavirus is a result of any one person's particular sin or a particular sin, but God sending affliction and even plagues into our world is not against his character or his nature, and he will use them to wake his people up. And so I think my personal belief here is if we want rid of the virus, washing our hands and staying 6 feet apart is a good idea, but washing our hearts is even better. And so I'm going to suggest two ways that we can do that that'll be helpful here as we go through this season, no matter how long it lasts. The first one is silence. Look at verse 28. He says, let him sit alone and be silent. We are daily bombarded with just noise of other voices. TV, we're used to having the TV on all the time. Our phones are always in our pockets. They're on all the time. And I just want to encourage you to just every day, once a day, whether it's even just a few minutes or longer, it's just to shut those things off and be silent so that we can learn to listen for the voice of God, so we can hear what he's saying to us. One of God's mercies is that you can still go outside. It's not like like the virus is in the air, that if you step outside of your house that you're in danger. So we have that option to go outside and take a walk. Would encourage you to do that. The second part of it is then prayer. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, don't worry about anything. And that's a lot easier read than done, isn't it? Don't worry about anything, is what he says. But in all things, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. That's the part that I want you to hang on to. Everything through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So two things about praying. One, fill your prayers with thanksgiving. Fill your prayers with thankfulness. That verse in Philippians says that our worry turns into peace when we are thankful. So it's easy to complain, but let's be thankful for the good things that God has given us. The I don't know, call it a silver lining, whatever, but it's his mercy and his grace. There's so much good that's happening that we can be thankful for. Secondly, fill your prayers with repentance. With repentance. Look at verse 40 and 41. Let us examine and probe our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven. So fill your prayers with repentance. Ask God to show you your sin, to show you the idols of your hearts, the things that you're holding on to that you need to let go of. And continue that daily prayer with the Lord. Another practical thing, I just found this week, but there is an app in the App Store called the Daily Prayer. And morning, afternoon, and evening, you get a reminder on your phone to pray. It guides you through what prayers to read, what scripture to read. For some of you, it's going to be too formal and you're not going to like it. But for me, it's the structure that I need to make sure that I'm continually going to the Lord in prayer. Now, as we get to the end here, what does it matter? Why should we do that? Well, here's my question or my challenge for all of you today. On the other side of this coronavirus, when everything is passed and there's a vaccine and nobody's too worried about it anymore and we're back to school, we're back to work, you're back to watching sports and going out to eat, when all of that comes back and this whole thing is blown over, what will your spiritual life look like? When all of this is passed, what will your spiritual life look like? Will you have used this time to nourish your life in ways that you never did before? Maybe in the past you said, I don't have time to really study God's word. I'm so busy. I don't have time to do this or that. And now that you do have time, most of us, are we using it to nourish our spiritual life, to grow in ways we never imagined, where we're producing fruit, where we look like a fruit tree and there's fruit on that tree, flourishing with faith and hope and confidence? Or will we come out the other side of this a thorn bush, more prickly and dried up than we were before? The author of Lamentations is asking this same question in different words. He knows life's not always going to be like this for that nation. Verse 31, for the Lord will not reject us forever. Even if he causes suffering, he will show compassion according to the abundance of his faithful love. For he does not enjoy bringing affliction or suffering on mankind. Again, I'm not saying for sure that this is God's discipline, but look at 32 and 33. Even if it is, God does not enjoy afflicting his people or allowing suffering. I don't know how many of you grew up in a home where you got spanked as a kid by loving, godly parents who, before they spanked you, or this happened to me anyway, before they spanked me, they would say, this is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you. And it never made any sense, right? But God can look at us and say the exact same thing, because our salvation cost him separation from his son. That our salvation did hurt him more than it hurt us. as Jesus hung on the cross, bleeding for your sins and your idolatry and your forgetfulness, he called out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the answer is, of course, sin. Sin separates us from God, and all of God's wrath toward our sin was poured out on Jesus at the cross. But even though God caused his own son the suffering of the cross and separation, like verse 32 says, even though he caused him suffering, he also showed compassion on Jesus because of his abundant love. And on the third day, with the payment for sin made in full, God raised Jesus from the grave, so that verse 31 of Lamentations, that the Lord will not reject us forever, is true about you and me. Isn't that awesome? That even if he allows suffering for a moment, it's not because he's angry. His anger for our sin, his wrath of his sin, was placed on Jesus. So if he allows suffering for us for a moment, it's out of his abundant love and compassion for us. He wants to move us to return to him, where we'll find the deepest love and the greatest peace and the best mercy forever and ever and ever. So my prayer for you today, River City, is that during this season, that you would allow God to reboot your heart this week, so that we begin to take a longer and deeper and more meaningful look at God's mercy, his faithfulness, his goodness, his abundant love to us in Christ Jesus, that we would respond by repenting of our sin and let him move us from the fear-driven what if to the faith-driven even if. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice. Lord, I thank you for your word that gives us great hope even in uncertain times. And Lord, we come to you today as a church, even though we are scattered in our own homes. Lord, I thank you that by your Spirit, you are uniting us as one. And so, Lord, today I pray that if there are those who are listening to this who have put their faith and trust in you, God, that you would give us the strength to endure. Lord, it's easy to complain. It's easy to list all of the things that we don't have or wish things could be back to normal. But Lord, there is so much for us to be thankful for. Your mercy is just off the charts. And so help us to be aware of that. Help us to be mindful of that. Lord, if there's any who are listening who have not put their faith and trust in you, if there's any listening who are just racked with anxiety right now because they just don't have any hope, they don't have a solid place to stand on during uncertain times, Father, I pray that you would open their eyes to the mercy and grace that is for them in the person and work of Jesus, that their sins can be forgiven by his blood on the cross, and that you rose again to bring us hope of new life, that what we experience here in this world is not all there is, that there is a more and better yet to come. So Lord, thank you for each one who is on this call. I pray that you would bless their families and their homes this day and this week. God, for those who are working, give them strength and energy for the week ahead. Lord, for those who their jobs or their situation is uncertain, Lord, would you again fill us with hope and peace based on what you have done. Thank you for this time we've had together today, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.